Part 2, Physics. 1. Electricity. About 2,000 years ago, Wang Chung, a Chinese philosopher, discovered that if one rubbed a piece of amber with a piece of fir or wood, he could always produce electricity. Scientists say today that the amber had become charged with electricity. When this happens, there are sometimes sparks, and the amber will attract to it small pieces of paper or other very light objects. Until the 19th century, no one knew much more about electricity than this. Now, though there are still some things we do not understand, we know a great deal about how it behaves and how to use it. We know also that everything is made up of atoms, and that these atoms contain electricity. Therefore, everything has electricity in it. If you stroke a cat, especially in very dry weather, you may notice that its hairs often seem to stand up and crackle. The same sort of thing sometimes happens to your own hair if you comb it hard. Another way to produce electricity is to pull a nylon vest or shirt over your head. In case you do this in a dark room, you may not only hear a crackle, but you may sometimes see a spark or flash of light made by the electricity. In all these cases, the electricity is caused by the rubbing of one thing against another. Supposing you want to experiment with electricity, what materials would you use? Amber is a good thing to use, but in case you do not have any, a plastic fountain pen or the handle of a toothbrush will do. As long as you hold the toothbrush by its brush and rub the handle hard against the sleeve of your coat or a piece of fur, both the toothbrush and your sleeve will often become charged with electricity. If you now tear up a bit of thin paper into tiny pieces and put them on the table, your electrically charged toothbrush handle will pick them up on condition that it is held closely above the pieces of paper. When you pull your nylon vest or shirt over your head, it sometimes produces so much electricity that the dry air itself is electrified for a moment, and a tiny flash jumps between the vest and your body. Of course, this flash is quite harmless. Much bigger flashes are usually seen during thunderstorms. When a big rain cloud becomes electrically charged, and the electric charge jumps between the cloud and the ground, there is a flash which we call lightning. This is often very powerful. If lightning strikes something such as a house or a tree, it usually causes great damage unless they are fitted with lightning rods. Lightning sometimes sets the object on fire. Never shelter under a tree during a thunderstorm. 2. Temperatures and thermometers. Temperature is measured by means of a thermometer. One general form of thermometer depends upon the fact that most solids and liquids expand as their temperature rises. There are one or two exceptions. There is, for instance, a kind of steel called invar, from invariable, which does not change its dimensions as temperature changes. It is valuable for making pendulums, since if the length of a pendulum changes, its time of vibration changes. It is also used for making very accurate measuring scales. In both cases, then, changes of atmospheric temperature have no effect if invar is used. Another exception is that very odd liquid, water, which has many strange properties. As water gets colder, it contracts, which is ordinary behavior, until it reaches the temperature of 4 degrees centigrade above freezing point. After that, as it gets colder, it expands. This is fortunate, for consider the freezing of a pond. As the water on top gets colder, it shrinks, and so, volume for volume, it becomes heavier and sinks. This goes on until all the pond is at 4 degrees centigrade. But after that, as the water becomes colder, it expands. Therefore, the colder water stays on top and freezes, covering the pond with ice. If the water went on contracting down to the freezing point, the pond would become a solid block of ice in the end. This would not worry people who live in hot climates, but it would be very serious for those who live in cold climates, especially for those who want to break the ice and catch fish which live in the cold water beneath. A common form of thermometer is the mercury thermometer, consisting of a glass bulb attached to a stem with a fine bore. The bulb and a short part of the stem are filled with mercury. When the thermometer becomes warmer, the mercury expands. The amount of expansion, noted on a scale engraved on or attached to the stem, measuring the temperature. Of course, the glass expands too, but not as much as the mercury. So the mercury moves up the scale as the temperature rises. In order to have the same reading on all thermometers at the same temperature, it is necessary to have standard temperatures. The temperature at which water freezes is a fixed temperature and is used to graduate the thermometer. The temperature at which water boils is another temperature which is fixed if the atmospheric pressure is fixed. If, however, the atmospheric pressure is above normal, the boiling point is a little higher. This is because the water has to be raised to a higher temperature for the steam to push back the greater pressure of the atmosphere. Similarly, if the pressure is low, the boiling point is low. Up high mountains, the atmospheric pressure is low because there is a lesser thickness of air pressing down, and water boils at a much lower temperature than usual, so that it is difficult to make good tea. There are different temperature scales in use. The one used in all scientific work is the centigrade scale, on which the temperature of melting ice is called 0 degrees centigrade, C standing for centigrade. And the temperature of water boiling at standard pressure is called 100 degrees centigrade. The space on the stem between 0 and 100 degrees centigrade is divided into 100 equal divisions. 3. Electromagnetic radiation. The complete range of electromagnetic radiations is made up of gamma rays, X-rays, ultraviolet rays, ordinary visible light, infrared heat radiation, and radio waves. All these are given out by the sun, but some of them do not reach us, as the atmosphere behaves like a filter. It lets through visible light and certain radio waves. Most of the other radiation is absorbed. This is fortunate for us, because gamma rays, X-rays, and ultraviolet rays can harm living things. Enough ultraviolet rays get through for us to detect them. They are responsible for our getting sunburned when we expose ourselves too rapidly in sunbathing. A well-known characteristic of light is that it travels in straight lines. The other electromagnetic radiations behave in a similar way. For this reason, scientists thought Marconi was wasting his time when he attempted to send radio waves from Cornwall to Newfoundland in 1902. It seemed obvious that the curvature of the earth across the Atlantic would prevent this. However, the experiment was successful, and once again it had been shown that experiments should always be made to check predictions from theory. A new theory was soon developed to explain the new facts. This was that a layer existed in the upper atmosphere which could reflect radio waves. In this way, they would be bounced around the world. This was called the Heaviside layer, after one of the scientists who predicted it. But as later work showed that there were several layers at different heights, they are now referred to by letters, and the general region in which they are present is called the ionosphere. The D layer occurs at a height of 50 or 60 miles and disappears during the night. The E layer occurs at 60 to 70 miles and is weakened but still present at night. The F layer extends from 90 miles upwards and is present as two layers, F1 and F2, during the day. The layers are able to conduct electricity because the particles, atoms and molecules, of the atmospheric gases are ionized, that is to say, split into ions and electrons. An atom of any substance consists of a positively charged central body, the nucleus, surrounded by negatively charged electrons, like planets round a sun. Each electron bears a single negative charge, and usually the nucleus carries a number of positive charges equal to the number of electrons. Therefore, the whole atom is neither positive nor negative. If one or more electrons are removed, the remainder of the atom must be positively charged. It is called a positive ion. Sometimes it is possible to add extra electrons to the atom, and then we get negative ions. Electric currents flowing in wires are streams of electrons running through the wire. Electrons also flow in a television tube, where they are made to hit the screen, causing a flash of light. Ions can also act as a current of electricity in liquids or gases, and thus the presence of electrons and ions in the upper atmosphere makes it electrically conducting. In fact, if there is a wind in the ionosphere, it will be an electric current.